Take your Bible and turn to Exodus chapter number 20. Of course, now, young people, I do want you to still yourselves and show respect to the Word of God. We only come and go now if it's an emergency. And so Exodus chapter number 20, once you find Exodus 20, I want you to find verse number 3. Exodus chapter 20, verse number 3. And once you have found it, would you stand with me, please? We'll stand out of reverence to the Word of God. Exodus chapter 20, verse 3. To some of you that may not know, of course, right now there are two other preaching services going on here at our church. We have a primary church where the children are preached to at that age, and then a children's church. So two levels, and they get the better sermons over there. You get the leftovers in here. But Exodus chapter 20, look at verse number 3. The Bible says, "Thou shalt have no other gods before me." Verse 4. "Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image." Go down to verse 7. "Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain." Go to verse 8. "Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy." Go to verse 12. "Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife, nor his manservant, nor his maidservant, nor his ox, nor his ass, nor anything that is thy neighbor's." Of course, we just read the Ten Commandments. And folks, so you know, they're not outdated. They're still in God's book. They're still true, and we're still supposed to live by them. We will give attention to one in particular this morning. I want to pray, and I'm going to ask God to speak to my heart. But listen, I just don't need God to speak to my heart. You need God to speak to your heart. And so while I pray, though we won't all pray aloud together, that would be confusing, I'll pray, and if you in your heart can agree with the prayer, you ought to be talking to God too while our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed. Let's pray together. Father, I need you today to reach down from heaven. Help us to put the world and the events of our lives out of our minds and focus on nothing but the Word of God. Please minimize the disruptions, maximize the tension, emphasize the Spirit, and do something in our midst that's supernatural. This is not just a social gathering to me, Lord, you know that. It's church. It's where we meet God. Holy Spirit of God, you take over and do something. Simple, simple truth today, simple sermon. But may we be better because we came to church. May we not leave here the same as we came in. Bless us with thy presence, please. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. We just read the Ten Commandments, and I want you to know something. I am for the Ten Commandments being in public view in the courtrooms and in the government buildings around our nation. You say, well, whatever happened to separation of church and state? Oh, phooey on the state. You know what they're doing? They're trying to take away from us our liberties, and that's not right. And that's not right. You know, I'm still a believer that on our coins and on our dollar bills, it says, "In God we trust." And that wasn't just any old God. That was Jehovah God. Commandment number 8 is, "Thou shalt not steal." Thou shalt not steal. Our society used to respect the Ten Commandments. I'm not real sure they're real respected anymore. The more godless we become, the less we respect His commandments. Now, we would all have our hands full if we just tried to live the Ten Commandments. That's 10 power-packed expectations that would be beyond us. But I do want you to know, there's more than 10. There's a whole book of them. God took 10 of them and He said, "Let me give you a sample of what I'm talking about." One of them is, "Thou shalt not steal." Did you know it's still a sin to steal? And stealing is not a little sin. If you steal, you're breaking one of the Ten Commandments. And that's a big deal. Usually when I preach, people don't wonder what I was talking about. They can almost always figure it out. There's not some hidden meaning. I put it right out there. I'm going to talk to you today about the sin of stealing. You say, why? I needed this when I was a child. I needed this when I was a teenager. And I needed this when I was an adult. Now I'm an old goat. I don't steal because it's too hard to run. I don't think there's any age when we do not need to be reminded of the basic principles of the Bible. And the less our society is biblical, the more you and I need to be careful that we don't get sucked into this society there are no absolutes. Well, folks, there are absolutes. There are rights and there are wrongs. And they're not determined by you and I. That's humanism. They are determined by the book that God wrote. I have to tell you this story. This is a newspaper article. October 13th is when it took place, called the Sun News. It says, burglars thought they had hit the jackpot when they saw the powder marked Charlie, slang for cocaine, in a pot on D. Blythe's mantelpiece. Each one of the burglars snorted their fair share. The thieves smashed down the front door of Dee's bungalow before stealing two TVs, a video recorder, a stereo system, and jewelry worth over $2,000. But they were unaware that the pot was actually an urn, and the drugs really were the remains of Dee's dog named Charlie, who died in 1997. You know, stealing does not really pay. I mean, it's wrong enough to steal, but to snort Charlie, you know, there's got to be something wrong with that. Folks, God still feels very strongly about the sin of stealing. In Exodus chapter 20, verse 15, it says, "Thou shalt not steal." I don't think he can make it any more plain. There's no complicated words in there. You don't need a dictionary to figure it out. In Leviticus 19:11, he said, "Ye shall not steal." Almost identical wording. In Deuteronomy 5:19, he said, "Neither shalt thou steal." In Matthew 19:18, in the New Testament, it says, "Thou shalt not steal." In Romans 13:9, it says, "Thou shalt not steal." You know, five times, both in the Old and New Testament, God almost used identical wordings about this thing of stealing, and he just told us not to do it. Now, let me give you some very practical, down-to-earth thoughts about this thought. We're not supposed to steal. Folks, as Christians, we're to be different. It doesn't matter what everybody else is doing. It matters what God would have you and I to do. And even if you say, "Well, Pastor, I would not steal," then listen to the sermon and support a truth that God sees as a very important truth. For instance, God commands us to stop stealing. He said in Ephesians chapter 4, verse number 28, he said, "Let him that stole steal no more." Now, that is very simple to understand. If you don't steal, don't start. If you do steal, stop. It's not hard. You children, there are not a lot of children in here. Okay, but I would say to the children, if you don't steal, don't start. Don't start. There are some habits that people develop in life, they regret developing them. Sometimes it's easier to start doing something than it is to stop doing something. Adults, sound like good advice? We get into things and then it's not as easy to get out of things as it was to get into it. So, God commands us to stop stealing. Now, the Bible talks about thieves. It talks about robbers. Modern day speech, we would call it somebody had sticky fingers. Or shoplifter. Or the embezzling. And you say, "Well, Pastor, I'm glad you're saying this. In this society, people need to be told not to steal." And I agree with that. I think that you're not to pirate DVDs. I think that if you have cable television, you're supposed to pay for it. I don't think you're supposed to steal and lie on your taxes. I don't think you're supposed to steal things from the boss at work. I think you're supposed to have a license to use the program that you use on your computer. And I realize I'm probably a voice crying in the wilderness, and this thing is stealing, probably not going to affect most of you, but I do want to make sure that I make you understand it's a very, very simple truth. We're not supposed to steal. We're supposed to be honest. And God commands us to stop stealing. Number two, one of God's solutions to stealing is work. Ephesians 4:28 says, at the first part of it says, let him that stole steal no more. And then there's a conjunction, but rather let him labor working with his hands the thing which is good. You say, well, what's God saying? The reason people steal is an absence of the work ethic in their life. We are to work for what we get, not steal for what we get. See, somebody had to work for it. You take something that doesn't belong to you, somebody else worked for it. You want the easy way, so you steal it, and what you should have done was work. So a thief has a lack of work ethic, according to the Bible. Not laboring, not working. Thieves are lazy. Work for what you want. Do you understand that they say nationally that if a boss can get 4 to 5 hours worth of work out of his employee for an 8-hour day, he'd be doing well? You see, when I started this sermon, you thought, well, I've never robbed a bank. You rob your boss? Every time he's out of sight, you're goofing off. You don't work hard. Does he get 8 hours work? Let me ask you this. Are you tired at the end of your work day? You're supposed to be. You ought to be weary. If you go to work and you're always hiding from the boss and you're always trying to figure out how not to have to work and you're always trying to figure out how to do less instead of do more, you may be a thief. Your boss ought to get a full hour's work out of you if you're going to get a full hour's pay. Don't steal from your boss. See, God's commands are so simple. But you know what I don't like about them? They're so pointed. I have 5 college degrees. I don't need a lick of them to teach the Bible. Simple. Don't steal. If you do, stop. If you work, be honest. Don't take things that don't belong to you. God said, you're lazy. Number three, don't steal someone's reputation. Ephesians chapter 4, verse number 8, verse 28, it starts to read this way, let him that stole steal no more. Now verse 29 is followed with this, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. Here is talking about, he said, don't steal. Then he goes into not being slanderous in the way you talk. You know what he's saying? Don't be a thief and steal somebody's reputation. Did you know that gossip hurts people? You say, I've never robbed a bank. Yeah, but you steal people's reputation. You know that criticism is a corrupter? You know that backbiting is wrong? When you steal someone's reputation, you're stealing. I'll tell you what, I think reputation is more important than money. When you go saying things about people that you have no evidence of, you don't have any proof of, when you mar someone's name or someone's reputation, God said you're stealing their name. You're stealing their credentials, if you will. Here it says, you're to talk about things that are edifying. You say, what is that? Building up. Gossip tears down. Edifying builds up. And our gossip may destroy someone's reputation. You have no right to steal someone's reputation. God said, if you steal, don't steal anymore. If you don't steal, don't start. Then he said, the answer to this issue of stealing, it has to do with your work ethic, because you're stealing things rather than work for those things. Folks, in America, you can have whatever you want.
if you'll work for it. But if you won't work for it, leave it alone. And don't take it from somebody else that worked for it. And don't steal someone's reputation. Don't, hey, look, gossip and criticism, and some of you, your thievery is on your Facebook account. You talk bad about people. You tear people down. That's wrong. That's wrong. I had somebody recently say something about me and our church. It was totally wrong. It was a lie. They've tried to steal our reputation. It's a sin. It's wrong. It's wrong. Shouldn't be that way. Number four, there will be no stealing in heaven. Oh, that's good. That's a good deal. Matthew chapter 6, verse 19 and 20, it says, Lay not up for yourselves treasure upon the earth, where moth or rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasure in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. Folks, God here is saying, send your riches ahead, and they can never be stolen. Did you know in heaven there'll be no security guards? In heaven, we won't need a watchdog. In heaven, you will not need a security system on your car. Now, I've never needed my security system on my car because someone was breaking into it, but it sure helps when I go park at Walmart and I can't find my car. Y'all know what I mean, right? No security cameras will be needed in heaven. No fingerprinting going on in heaven. Our new church van has that thing called OnStar. We won't need it. We won't need it in heaven. Your chariot won't need OnStar when you get to heaven. You're not going to need locks on your doors of your mansion in heaven because there'll be no stealing in heaven. It's a part of what will make heaven great. Maybe you heard it, but I just read it again when I was studying for this sermon about the guys that had gotten, they showed up where a couple of men were being arrested. The police showed up to arrest a couple guys, and they were actually lying on the street beside an RV. These guys were arrested for stealing gas. They had taken a siphon hose and stuck it in the RV, and they were going to fill their gas tanks with fuel. When the police got there, one guy was laying on the floor just writhing in pain. And they had stuck their siphon hose instead of into the gas, they put it into the refuse tank. So they were siphoning things from the toilet area. You know, stealing doesn't pay off like you might think. You say, yeah, they were snorting Charlie at the beginning of your sermon. Well, I'd rather snort Charlie than the RV stuff. But the Bible makes it pretty clear. If you're stealing, stop. If you don't steal, don't start. And one of the solutions is hard work. All you need to do is if you see something and you admire it or you want it, just work for it. And then you can have it. But if not, don't take it and don't use somebody else's work and labor to get it. And don't steal someone's reputation. Tell the truth. Don't say things about people that you don't know for a fact are true. There'll be no stealing when we get to heaven. The Bible talks about the stealing of people. And folks, whether you and I realize it, it's still happening in this world today. We call it kidnapping or people napping. 1 Timothy 1:10 calls them men stealers. In Exodus chapter 21, verse number 16, it says, "And him that stealeth a man and selleth him, or if he be found in his hand, he shall be put to death." One of our young men, he's probably in here, one of our young men was standing just out front of the building. He'd ridden in on a bus in between Sunday school and church. He just stepped out front. I went out front and I said, "Hey guys, I want you to come on back in the building. While you're under my care, I just want to be able to see you. I don't want someone to pull off the highway out here and grab you and walk off with you." He said, "Oh, Pastor, nobody would ever steal me." I said, "No, they would steal you." He said, "Why?" I said, "Because you have nice ears." He said, "I do?" I said, "You do. Now get on in there before somebody tries to steal them." And he ran in the building. Most of you don't have nice ears, so you're not under threat at all. And thank God it's not the nose, because you definitely are going to be left home with mama in regard to the nose issue. But you know, folks, still today in our society, and maybe as much as ever, they still steal people. It's a sad, sad thing. And I'll warn young people, you be very, very careful. You and your Facebook account and you're roaming the internet. There are people out there that will hurt you. And some of you tell way too much about yourself to people you don't know, and you throw way too much information out there. You better just be told that there are people that still kidnap and they steal people, and it's a sin, and it's very clear God warns us about it. Then, number six, we're not to be hypocrites in regard to stealing. Let me read a verse to you. In Romans chapter 2, verse number 21, it says, "Thou therefore which teachest another, teachest thou not thyself? Thou that preachest a man should not steal, dost thou steal?" See, what's it talking about? God is saying, hey, leader, when you say to the follower, don't steal, you're a hypocrite if you turn around then and steal. Mom, don't teach your daughter and son not to steal, and then turn around and you're a thief. Dad, don't teach your children that it's wrong to steal, and then you turn around and you steal. Leaders are to be examples not only in word, but in deed to the followers. Sunday school teacher, don't you stand and say to your class, it's wrong to steal, but yet you're a thief. Bus captain, don't you stand up there and preach on your bus and tell the kids they should not be stealing, and then you turn around and you steal. Hey, employer, you say to the employee, you steal, I'll put you in jail. But then you, as an employer, are a thief. You know something I'm careful of? Did you know that I don't steal other people's church members? Anybody's ever visited here that comes to my church from another church in the area, if it's a church of like faith, they come to visit, I don't try to steal somebody else's members. If I go and I knock on a door out there in the community and I find out they go to a good independent fundamental Baptist church, I say, folks, I'm sorry, I didn't know you already had a church. I walk away. You come visit my church, I'm really interested in your church. I'll talk to your pastor before you come. I don't want to be guilty of stealing somebody else's members. Now they go to a church that doesn't care about salvation, doesn't care about the Bible. I ain't stealing nothing. But if they believe right, I'm not trying to steal. I'm not trying to steal their members. Sunday school teachers, be careful. Within our system, I think there's an ethical propriety. Mrs. Young goes to Brother Young's Sunday school class. Not because she wants to. She has to. She's his wife. No, she wants to. But you know, I'm not going to try to go get her to join my Sunday school class. There's an ethical boundary there for me. There's a propriety that I want to keep. But I am going to tell you that this thing of us talking about how stealing is wrong, then turning around and doing it, God actually took the time to say, don't you be going around telling people not to steal and then you go steal. He said it's wrong. And so, number one, God commands that if you steal, steal no more. If you don't steal, don't ever start. He said, secondly, the key to this thing of stealing is just your work ethic. Learn to work hard, and anything you desire, you can have. You say, I don't think I could ever have it. Then you want the wrong thing. Thirdly, don't steal someone's reputation. Don't do that. It's wrong. Fourthly, there'll be no stealing in heaven. Fifthly, people stealing, kidnapping, very wrong, and it's still prevalent today. Number six, we're not to be hypocrites in our stealing. Number seven, we should not steal our lives away from God. Our lives. 1 Corinthians 6:20 says, "For ye are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. Brother Uriah, what a powerful song earlier. Fits this point perfectly. He said, I want God to have control. Folks, your body is actually His body. If you're a born-again Christian, you belong to God. We are His purchased possession. Your body is God's. Your spirit is God's. All you have is God's. He paid for it. When you take something that someone else has paid for, then it becomes stealing. You say, well, it's my life. Not so. It's His life. Say, it's my body. It's His body. Don't live a stolen life. Your life is to be in His control. So as Christians, you and I, if we're not careful, we will steal ourselves away from God. And we're not to do that. We're to be in submission to God. We're not to do our will. We're to do His will. We're not to say what we want to say. We're to say what He wants us to say. We're not to behave the way we want to behave. We're to behave the way He wants us to behave. And when you and I do what we want instead of what He wants, we have stolen something from God. You know, the Bible, the wording in the Bible, the thous and the therefores and some of that that is not common for our wording today. You say it's outdated. No, it's not outdated. It's not outdated at all. But there are people that say that some of that old-fashioned, that old English and stuff, that's difficult. Well, let me assure you something. The principles and the truths of this book are not outdated. It's still wrong to steal. And all that wording is still appropriate and right. We're not going to fiddle with that wording. But I'm just here to remind you, as our society gets worse and as it seems to corrupt, the Bible is still true. And folks, I'm telling you, I feel like in regard to so many things in our country, morality is under attack. Propriety is under attack. We're not to steal. We're not to steal. Now, let me go on. I got a couple more points and we'll get you out of here. You can get to McDonald's and have your Big Mac and fries. But we're not to steal our lives away from God. Next, don't steal God's tithe and don't steal God's offering. Malachi chapter 3, verse number 8, it says, will a man rob God? Yet ye have robbed me. But you say, wherein have we robbed thee? And it says, in tithes and offerings. One-tenth of our income is God's. It's already His. If you don't give it to Him, the Bible says you have stolen it. I didn't write that. I didn't make that up. That's in the Bible. You're to give, then, above your tithe and offering. But God doesn't set that amount. That He leaves up to you. But if you don't tithe, you've stolen. If you don't give that offering, you've stolen. Actually, God even in chapter 3, verse number 9 of Malachi says, ye are cursed with a curse if you don't. You say, well, my finances don't go well. Is it because you've been stealing from God? You're to tithe, according to the Bible. And the word that God uses is robbed. He said, you have robbed me. And when I started the sermon, I said, you know, you could sit there and say, well, I've never robbed a bank. Yeah, you robbed God. Who's better to rob, a bank or God? I'd rather you robbed a bank than rob God. I'd rather you not do either one. Just in case somebody goes to do it today and blames me in court so I get in trouble. I always have to say things like that. I had a friend, he was throwing a fit about a liquor store in town. And he got up one Sunday morning and he was giving it. You know, he was preaching hellfire and he was really giving it. He said, somebody ought to burn that place to the ground, ruining people's lives. I'll tell you, somebody ought to burn it to the ground. A kid in his church went out and burnt the place to the ground that afternoon. Pastor was in the paper the next day. So don't rob a bank. But if you do, tithe.
Oh,
Hey, I've got to hurry. Hey, don't, young people, don't steal from your parents. You know, the Bible makes it very clear you're not to steal from your parents. It's funny how God would take the time to say this. Proverbs 28:24 says, "Whoso robbeth his father and saith it is no transgression, the same is a companion of a destroyer." Young people, you're not to steal from your parents. Say, what do you mean? You stay out of your dad's wallet. You don't sneak in your dad's wallet and take money. You don't sneak in your mom's purse and take money. You don't ask your mother for money for something at school, but then steal it and not use it for that which you requested it. That's stealing. Hey, and I'll tell you this also. Young people, be careful not to steal your parents' reputation. So your parents have worked very hard to have a good name, and you do not have the right to mar your parents' name. Behave yourselves. Hey, don't steal someone's purity. In Proverbs 7:7, the Bible says this. It says, "And beheld among the simple ones, I discerned among the youths a young man void of understanding." This is telling a story about a young man that wasn't real complicated in life. And the Bible says in verse number 21 of the same chapter, it says, "With her much fair speech, she caused him to yield. With the flattering of her lips, she forced him." Here's what happened. There was a young man, really didn't know much about life. Young lady came along, started flaunting her stuff, and ended up enticing him. He loses his purity because she stole it. She knew what she was doing. Folks, you ought not to ever steal anybody's purity. You say, what are you talking about? Young people, stay pure. And I'll tell you something. One reason why you young people ought to keep your hands to yourself until you're married is you don't have the right to take that young lady's purity. And you don't have the right to take that young man's purity. And those of you that are in our church that are married, you have no right to reach outside the confines of your marriage and fiddle with anybody else's marriage. You don't have the right to take somebody else's husband, or the right to take somebody else's wife, the right to take somebody's child. You don't have that right. That's called stealing. When a woman have yours, you got a license. I'll tell you this, I need to warn you. It's not like a fishing license. You don't renew it every year. I didn't know that. You know, I thought, okay, get this license. Next year, we'll see if we renew. And then she told me. She said, no, it's permanent. I said, I didn't want the permanent one. You say, why? It came with a mother-in-law. Don't steal. Don't steal someone's purity. Let me throw out this, and you all know where I stand on this. No one should steal words from God's book. Shouldn't steal words from God's book. Jeremiah 23:30 says, "Therefore, behold, I am against the prophets, saith the Lord, that steal my words." Modern day Bible translations, do you realize in the NIV they took 63,000 words out of it? Took Jesus out 36 times, God out 31 times, Christ out 44 times, and Lord out 35 times. They shouldn't have taken His name out of His book. Now let me tell you, I'm finished, but let me conclude with this. If we steal, we're to pay back, and with penalty. Exodus 22:1 says, "If a man steal an ox or a sheep and kill it or sell it, he shall restore 5 oxen for an ox and 4 sheep for a sheep." You say, why? Well, this is how he earned his living. You took a man's ox, that'd be equivalent to taking his truck for work that he used for work. So you're going to be penalized not only for taking the truck, but he couldn't earn his income while it was stolen. And God said, not only are you going to pay for the truck that you stole, but you're going to pay back even more than that because his income that was lost while his truck was gone. That's fair. That's just. I didn't write the book, folks, so you all know. I just read it. I just teach it to you. Exodus 22:7, it says, "If a man shall deliver unto his neighbor money or stuff to keep, and it be stolen out of the man's house, if a thief be found, let him pay double." So, you know, you go steal and then you go to court and they make you pay back, but then they penalize you with restitution. That's what the Bible teaches. It's supposed to be that way. You say, why? Well, there's interest. There's all sorts of money that could have been gained. There's the inconvenience of what you put someone through because you stole. So, look, if somebody stole something from you, they need to pay you back, and there's restitution in regard to the damages that were done. Oh, did you all know that the same thing is true about your tithe?
Leviticus 27:31, and if a man will at all redeem aught of his tithes, he shall add thereto the fifth part. There's a 20% penalty according to the scripture. And again, I didn't write the book. I just teach it. Sometimes I teach the parts that people don't want to hear. Simple sermon today. I thought about calling it, Don't Be Snorting Charlie. But I thought that would be too irreverent. Stealing is sin. It was, it is, it'll continue to be. And I think all of us would say, I think stealing is wrong. But then some of us probably need to look at ourselves a little more carefully, because stealing's not just taking your gun, going down to the bank and robbing the bank. There's a little more to it than just going and taking money that doesn't belong to us. This concept of taking what does not belong to us, it can get into all different arenas of life. Reputations, morality, the work ethic. Stealing is sin. Let me tell you something. If you're here today and you've never been born again, I've dealt with a sin of life. And you need to understand, Jesus loves you. God doesn't want anyone to go to hell. You say, I'm guilty of many sins. Listen, if you're guilty of many sins, if you have never asked Jesus to come into your heart and save you, your life and your future will be tragic. But I'll tell you, if you're guilty of sin and you say, you know something, I would like to have Jesus cleanse me of my sin. He can do that through a thing called salvation. If you're here today and you're not sure, if you died today, you'd go to heaven. It's a simple process. You have to realize you're a sinner, that there is a penalty for that sin. That is death and hell, separated from God for all eternity. And that Jesus Christ paid that penalty with his death, his burial, and his resurrection. If you will say, God, forgive me of my sin, come into my heart and be my Savior. If you do that in all sincerity, God will save you and take you to heaven someday when you die. You say, well, I know I've sinned. I know even this thing is stealing. I've done it. God can forgive you of that, just like God can forgive of sin if we'll just get born again. Christian, if you steal, stop. If you don't start. Lost person, if you're not saved, get saved. God will forgive you of your sin, a sin such as, but not limited to, stealing. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes, every head bowed, every eye closed. We're not done yet, but we're close. Hang in there for just a moment more. The first question is this: if you died today, do you know for a fact you'd go to heaven? Are you here today and you would say, Pastor, I don't know that I'm saved. I don't know that I'm going to heaven. Pray for me. I don't know that I'm born again. If you'll raise your hand right this second and say, pray for me, Pastor. I don't know I'm going to heaven when I die. Please pray for me. If you put your hand up, we will pray for you. Good. Someone else, you say, I don't know that I'm saved. If you're not saved, we're going to have a bit of an altar call in a second. That means this. In just a second, we're all going to stand. In a moment, the pianist is going to begin to play. If you need to come, you come. We'll take a Bible and show you how to be born again. Christian, has God spoken to your heart today? Are there matters in your life? When I said, we don't rob banks, you'd say, oh, I wouldn't rob a bank. Oh, but are there other areas? Does your boss get a full hour's work out of you for a full hour's pay? Do you cheat people? Do you steal reputations with your gossip and your slander and what you say? By your innuendo and your assumptions? You didn't see it, but you're just pretty sure you've got ESP that is just merely corrupt gossip that comes out your mouth. You, the stealer of reputation. Oh my. You steal someone's purity. Are we needing maybe to get a few things right with our Lord today? Christian, who here would say, Pastor, there's no doubt God has spoken to my heart today during the sermon. He has spoken to me. And you'll raise your hand so that God can see it. I see hands already. People saying, yes, he's spoken to me. God bless you. God bless you. We're going to have an altar call. Here's what will happen. In a second, I will signal Rachel. She'll begin to play. We'll all stand. That does not mean we begin to talk and play and frolic, but we're having an altar call. If you need the altar, you leave your seat. You come down here, take a moment, get on your knees. If you need to be saved, you come. We'll take a Bible and show you how to be saved. It won't be long. We'll be on our way. And let me tell you all this, folks. If preachers would just start giving the simplest of truths and teaching the Bible again, we could get our nation straightened up. But we want to avoid truths that convict us of our sins. Children, teenagers, don't steal. It'll ruin your life. I'll ask the pianist to begin to play. Let's stand to our feet with our heads bowed and eyes closed. If you need a moment at this altar, you come. Whether you be an adult, you be a child, you're a teenager, if you need a moment at this altar where you come and you pray, you just come and you ask God to help you. Those of you that go to work, I want you to be very careful. You ought to treat the boss's materials as the boss's materials, not as your own. You don't steal the boss's tools. You don't waste the boss's gas. You say, well, they underpay me, so as a result of it, I take office supplies that are rightfully mine and due me. You're a thief. That's wrong. Don't steal from the boss. I had statistics. I chose not to read them today. The statistics that talk about people that just, the amount real retailers are losing because of shoplifters and stealing, the amount bosses are losing because of waste on the job that, and I'm not talking about accidental waste, I'm talking about theft. One more time through the song, Rachel. Take us all the way through the song one last time. And in a moment we'll pray and we'll be on our way. Again, God said in the book of Jeremiah, He said, there is a penalty for those that steal my words. In other words, people that take words out of God's book. Very dangerous thing to do. Very dangerous thing to do.